Hey guys, welcome to the first ever episode of In Your Head Podcast with yours truly, Chris Medina. My God, you guys, I am so excited that the day has finally come that I'm dropping this podcast. It has been a long time coming. Big love, big hugs, big everything to those that have supported me, those have shown me love, those have been by, in my corner, backing me up, pushing me to do this, inspiring me to do this. Thank you so much. It's been well received. I love you guys. Thank you so much again for all the support and all the love and all the well wishes. It is here. In Your Head Podcast drops today. I hope you guys like it. I want to give you guys something that you've never heard before. I want to do shit that you guys have never seen before. I'm going to keep it real. Like I've been saying, I want to change the way the world looks at psychics and or mediums and those of us that are in the metaphysical world that are actually doing good with it. I want people to realize that we are real. We're not, a good majority of us are not made for TV, although we have personalities for it. We don't come with the hokey gimmicks or the bullshit that you're seeing now. And I have searched the world high and low for these people. Some of them are really good friends of mine and that I'm going to bring onto the show that have their own unique abilities here. And I can't wait for you guys to hear about it. I know you guys heard me talk, about a couple of people on several podcasts that I've been on. But I'm bringing them to the show. I am letting you hear their version, their side of the story, tapping it, letting you get a glimpse of their abilities and how they tap into them. A lot of it might make sense to you guys. A lot of people struggle with, well, not really struggle, but I believe that a lot of us are naturally intuitive here. Whether we choose to listen to it is a different story. So some of the guests that I'm bringing on here, I'm a normal person with a unique ability, just like an artist, a singer, a dancer, an actor. My unique ability or my trait, my skill is being a psychic medium. But I've also done the real world. I've also, you know, worked a regular 9-to-5 job in the insurance industry and lived that type of life. You know, a daddy to two kids, just all the responsibilities of life. I still have all that stuff here, but I am now more focused on my ability and what I came here to do. So again, hopefully these stories are inspiring to you and they make sense to you and brings more people out. I'm not saying that you guys are in the closet, but bring a lot more people out and, you know, coming to the realization that you are unique, that you are different, that you probably do have these abilities here. So again, I'm going to give you guests that are, for the most part, I mean, they don't do this as a profession, but they have the ability. So hopefully it makes sense to you guys and you guys like it. You guys rock with it. Shit. Where else am I? So I wanted, as far as the first guest today, not going to lie, that first guest I wanted was Annabelle DeSisto of Adderall and Compliments. But there was some scheduling issues there. But don't worry, she's going to be on the show. I'm going to be on her show again as well, too. Kitten love. But I wanted to bring on someone equally as important to me, someone that has been by my side for the last 12 years, someone that has never turned their back on me, supported me, not even family. He came in the form of a friend, but has been more family to me than my own family has. So this person's very dear to me. Please help me welcome Jay.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
So gay. Hi.
You're making it worse.
Hi. Just kidding.
You're so terrible.
So, can you believe it? We dropped this podcast today.
I'm really excited. It's been torture trying to get this on.
Torture for what do you
for
mean?
For me.
Oh.
For me. Because I've been dying to get you to get this started, but you weren't ready yet, you know?
No, I wasn't ready yet. And you're
born ready to do this.
Well, for some things I'm born ready to do, but for this one I had to, you know me. As much as I want to be in the public eye and I want to do it, it scares the shit out of me.
I get what you're saying, but looking from the outside into, you know, what you do, you're born to do this. This is natural for you.
Well, here I am. I'm doing it now so we can keep the bitching and complaining to a minimum now. I took advice from you, Jacqueline Marfuji, Christina Chang, Annabelle DeSisto, everybody that you...
From everyone.
Yeah, that you threw me under the bus with and was like, can you tell him to get this shit out? It's here. So I'm excited for this. I was just telling everybody, you heard, that I wanted this podcast to be different than what anybody else is doing right now, as far as in the psychic world.
Mm-hmm. It is different because they're not you.
That's true. Good point. Good point. But I wanted to keep it real. I wanted to keep it 100. I wanted people to know me as Chris Medina. They know me as Psychic Chris M, but I want them to know me as Chris Medina. Human.
The human Chris Medina?
The human Chris Medina, yeah.
Well, they're going to be in it for a treat because you are hilarious and you're just an entertaining person.
Well, I hope so. I hope this gets those 5-star ratings that everybody's telling to do, or you know, great reviews. I am going to put this out there right now, you guys. Give me at least 4 episodes deep before criticizing or critiquing me, please. I've never fucking done this before. I will take everything into consideration, but let me get 4 episodes deep before making suggestions or telling or you know, your giving me your criticism, your positive criticism, your what's it called?
Constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism. God, I'm talking like you. I'm tripping over my own words.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It's horrible. But yeah, I wanted to. So you guys are gonna get a real good glimpse at Chris Medina, Psychic Chris M here, and hopefully it brings out those psychics, mediums that are closeted or afraid to come out because of the way that they're going to be looked at, or even like with family members. I remember growing up having scary movies being blamed for why I was feeling the way that I was feeling, and being told that I was stupid or it's all in your head type of shit.
Your imagination from watching all my imagination. Scary, crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. And kind of being afraid to speak on it. And believe it or not, you know my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So having my dad, who's this big badass, you know, kind of...
Sons of Anarchy looking guy.
Sons of Anarchy looking guy, you know, kind of molding me and or bringing it out of me, questioning it, asking where it's coming from, who am I talking to, how do I see it, and even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear us talk on the phone for like hours.
Yeah, he's super interesting and really... insightful. I mean, because he is, you know, an older gentleman, and he's gone through a bunch of shit. So it's really cool to see someone like that. You know, like you said, you know, kind of mold you and mold you in a certain direction, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He has his own abilities. You've heard him tell his stories.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get him on. I don't know. I don't know if the world's ready for that. And I don't even know if my dad's ready for that. My dad could be a hard pill to swallow sometimes. So you're going to hear a lot of ball busting, and I'm sure he's going to throw me under the bus with a couple of other things. So I have to really, really make sure. But it's a good thing we have an edit button, though. Because he's going to start talking shit. He's going to start bringing up old stories.
I don't know why we didn't think of that before, having him on as a guest. Because
he's all the way in goddamn Texas, and we can't do this over the phone.
That's true.
So, we can figure something
out. We'll figure something
out. Yeah. But you guys, I'm going to definitely have my dad on here. He is, I've spoken about him before. He is a total biker, long hair, beard, mustache, you name it. He is buff as fuck. He's like 5'10". 5'9", 5'10". Mm-hmm. He's a little shorter than I am. But huge. Huge to this day.
He is thick.
Thick. Sweetest guy ever. Looks scary as hell, but sweetest guy ever. Give you the shirt off his back if he could. Always willing to help. I remember, I don't want to be plugging my dad through this whole thing, but I remember because of the way that he looks, I remember pulling over on the side of the road. There was a nice Asian family that was stranded on the 5 when I was living in Tacoma, Washington,
mm-hmm.
with my dad. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Because we pulled over and he's like, I'm going to help them. And they literally looked at him like he was going to take their car. And once they realized that he was helping them, they were like, oh, my God, so grateful. But the look on their faces was kind of, you know, because he's a scary looking guy.
He's very intimidating.
He's very intimidating. But again, he has his ability. He actually sees ghosts and can communicate with them, but chooses not to. So it'll be interesting to get his side of the story. We're going to expose the pussy out of him. Ooh. And he's going to fucking kill me. But yeah, we're going to have guests like this on the show. And again, I've got amazing people coming on here to tell their story. I will definitely be doing my readings on here, doing medium stuff as much as I can. A lot of people, I'm getting lately that people are assuming or thinking that because some of the shit that comes out of my mouth that I don't like doing medium readings. That's not true. Let me just clear that up real quick. I do not mind doing medium readings. That is what I do. But sometimes when I open that part of me, it is not like the psychic. The psychic stuff is always on. I'm always getting hits, but the medium stuff can be a bit overwhelming, you know.
Yeah.
I can't sleep at night. Once I open that up, it's like a flood of other people coming in here. So when I'm doing readings over the phone or in person and people want to talk to somebody from the other side and I'm able to tap into it, it could be a little overwhelming for me, but I will do the medium readings on here. I will definitely do my medium readings on the phone and in person. It's not that I don't like to. It's very, very draining on me because not just that one person comes through, different spirits come through, different people want to talk to me. I remember you fell asleep and I was watching Unsolved Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to doze off and was just kind of like, you know, falling asleep because I have a hard time falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy came through.
Which guy?
The one that told me that he had been missing, that if I could help him,
In
Peru, that he'd been missing and his family's been looking for him, and if I could provide closure.
That's crazy.
And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. I felt bad, but
there's really nothing you can do at that point.
There's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do.
You know, one of my first readings with you that's most memorable is your medium reading on my grandma.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was amazing. Like, every time you do a medium reading and I hear about it, it hits me for some reason. It makes me, like, wow, like, just, like, almost so privileged to get a medium reading from you because it's amazing. I don't know. It's so hard to describe unless you get a medium reading from you.
And you've seen the way I've done medium readings before. I'm not someone that, if they don't want to come through, they don't come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people this all the time, just to give you guys a glimpse of how it works for me. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on a show before, but I get it three different ways. I'll get it the actual person coming through where I could feel them, hear them, and communicate with them directly. Or if they don't do that, sometimes there's religious beliefs that come into play or just the beliefs of that person where they're kind of just standing there. I can feel them in the room and listening to me give the reading over the phone. And it's more or less kind of like them listening, making sure I'm not misleading the person that I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I don't get it those two ways, the third way for me is if the client would provide a picture. And I could tap into that person's memory and pick up memories of what their life was like all the way up to the end and where they could possibly be at now.
Yeah, like I said, like to me, it's like a privilege to get a medium reading from you because it means so much to that person, and it did to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made me a true believer in what you're really doing because I was never a spiritual or anything like that before until I experienced that from you, and it blew my mind.
Well, we're here to talk about that. We're here to let everybody see that side of me and share more stories.
Your personal stories are the best ones.
See, you guys, that's another reason why I was hesitant to do the show because I knew that I couldn't. I mean, yes, I can have a psychic show that runs an hour long and drop it every Thursday, but how boring is that going to get after a while? So I knew that I was going to have to incorporate my personal life into the podcast. Everybody's telling me how funny I am. I know that I'm a funny person. I like to entertain people. I like to make people laugh and talk shit. Some of my, you know, like Brandy Celestino and Darnell from Bubbles and Bitches. Like every time I'm around Brandy, her ass always gets me. Like those are the people that I fuck with. Like she's someone that would have me rolling on the floor.
It's hilarious.
It is. These are people that I made friends with through their show, through their podcast, came on as a psychic medium, and then kind of hung around afterward and just started shooting the shit. And we all discovered that we actually are all like-minded.
Mm-hmm. You developed a friendship with them.
Yeah. So definitely going to have Bubbles and Bitches on here. Love those two. But yeah, I knew that I was going to have to start telling personal stories, and we'll get to all that good stuff here. Any stories that you want to bring on here or that you want to, that are most memorable for you? Aside from the psychic medium shit. So we'll do a little bit of personal, and then we'll get right back on track with the psychic shit.
So, most people usually think that we're together, right? Romantically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do we meet? What was your impression of me when we first met?
I don't know. It's so long ago. I mean, we've been best friends for the last 12 years, but actually knew each other longer than that through mutual acquaintances.
Yeah.
And would see each other at parties and or get-togethers and kind of be gravitated towards each other.
Yeah. I mean, you just had this really cool energy about you. You were just always funny, like laughing, smiling. So, like, it's natural to be, you know, befriend someone that's really open like that. Mm-hmm. Usually you have, like, a bitch face on, but...
Gee, thanks. Yeah. That's my defense mechanism. But yeah, a lot of people, we get a lot of shit for being so close.
Yeah.
You know, are you guys sure you're not fucking? You guys have to be fucking. And we're not.
He would be so lucky if I was gay.
You would be fucking. You'd be so lucky. You'd be so lucky. You'll see what it's like to be with a real woman.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, instead of these little girls. But anyways, we'll shit on you later. But yeah, people think that you and I are together, mm-hmm. and they can't understand that once you found... Here's the thing. This is what's so fucked up with people, is that they... Because the world's such a jaded place, and people are used to getting fucked over left and right, and, you know, the... I like to always say it's not innocent until proven guilty. I like to say you're guilty until proven innocent. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have that same mentality as well too, and they can't understand how two people can be so close without fucking. Like how, like, it's a natural connection that we have.
Yeah.
Yes, we have our on and off days. People don't see the behind the scenes shit where we're screaming, fighting each other.
We fight like cats and dogs.
Like literally throw down. That's aggression being, to me, people, you guys are going to think it's crazy, but it works for him and I. I mean, we are two guys. I am not some, you know, yes, I'm obviously gay. I'm obviously very feminine, but.
You're very butch when your temper goes up.
When it's time to get busy, mm-hmm. I gets busy. So with you and I, I guess people don't understand how two people can be so close. But I understand that because people are used to being fucked over left and right here. So when something good comes along here, it's weird. And that's weird to me mm-hmm. that people can't look at something and be like, oh my God, you know, that is amazing that you could be friends for 12 years mm-hmm. and be so close, do everything together and not get sick or bored of each other. Mm-hmm. That's soulmate shit.
Yeah.
When you can, and we're not with each other 24/7. Mm-hmm. Right now we are because of our current living situation. Mm-hmm. But before, I mean, we've lived together for 12 years. You're upstairs like 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. I'm downstairs doing my own thing. The only time that we come together is when it's time to eat.
Or smoke.
Smoke a good joint, yeah. But yeah, it's fucked up that people are like, don't you guys get sick of each other? No. This is a real honest relationship. This is a friendship. This is almost like a family member. I don't get bored.
Mm-hmm. I do look at you like an older brother, you know. Mm-hmm. So it pretty much is a, you know, our own family.
So those of you that have a hard time with that or think it's weird, go find somebody that suits you the same way here where you don't have to worry about shit. Again, that's the kind of world we live in, though. It's a kind of a fucked up perception that people have that, you know, that they see something good here, and it's kind of like, well, how does that work? It's just natural. It's
they just karmic. Haven't. They haven't. I don't think they've found a person that they can really relate to mm-hmm. at that level yet. And mm-hmm. once they do, it's like, oh, okay, I understand. You know. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it's
maybe it has to do with being psychic. Mm-hmm. But then again, you don't listen to anything that I fucking tell you anyway.
But I'm not psychic either.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if maybe it's because you trust me.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah, but you don't trust my advice at times, though. It has to take a glass exploding in your hand. It has to take some bullshit for you in order for you to listen to the psychic stuff.
Exactly, because I use more of my logical brain instead of my, you know.
See, that's what you got to shut off is that logical. But there's nothing logical about you.
Oh, please.
Just kidding. But yeah, that trips me out. People ask, you know, don't you guys get bored of each other? Don't you guys? I mean, how does that work or whatever? Fucking, it works.
We just pretty much talk shit about each other the whole time,
mm-hmm.
and
smoke weed, eat. A good majority of our day is eating. Or, no, getting up to work, working for like what 8 hours?
At least
8 hours. Going to get something to eat. I post a lot of shit about the food that we eat. I'm a fucking tourist, man. I love to grub, and you love to eat too.
Oh yeah.
So
who doesn't love to eat?
Exactly. And we, I mean, aside from music, because, you know, my taste in music is a lot different than yours.
Yeah.
I'm more diverse. You're more emo.
alternative, punk rock.
Yeah, shit like that. Yeah, it works. It works for us. Let's see, what else do I want to bring up here?
So you never answered my question. What was your first impression of me when you first saw?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Use your psychic ability.
Oh, please. I'll go back here, and this is you want me to go there?
Go for it.
I knew that you weren't friends with those people because you wanted to be friends with them. I knew that I was like,
you were just
with them to pass time. Okay. And I had asked you, I remember asking you, what is your connection with those people?
They were your friends too.
No, they were not my friends. They were all your friends. The only reason why you thought they were my friends is because two of them I was related to.
Okay.
That's the only reason why. But I didn't fuck with any of those. You know that. Every time we were at a party, I didn't fuck with any of them. Just like Cardi, if I see you and I don't speak, that means I don't fuck with you.
All right.
I didn't. And then asking, you were like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, they're just there to pass the time. And blah, blah. I was like, so they're not really friends. Like, how does that work?
It's something to do. You know, like, again, it's really hard for, you know me, it's really hard for me to actually connect with someone on a deeper level than just, you know, surface. And it just...
If you hope to get any pussy or hope to find yourself in a relationship, you got to put yourself out there, and surround yourself with people that you want to talk to, that you enjoy talking to. That may have came across gross, but I'm kind of... Okay, let's go back on topic here.
All right.
When it comes to the friends. That was my first impression. Then we'll get to the girls in a second. But that was my first impression of you. I was like, how does this work here? Like, I'm looking at all these assholes that you're around. And, God, I just couldn't.
It's just so much work. Like, you know, getting...
And then you had that one annoying little bitch there, too. The one that kept with the loud... Don't mention her name.
I'm trying to think of which one.
I'm going to mouth it to you.
I think you said out loud, but...
Well, whatever. Yeah, that one... I mean, I was like, this is like... Again, I am 8 years older than you. I'm 8 years your senior.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have friendships like that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up a lot different than you did, than you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
My friends were a lot more hood.
Oh, yeah. You grew up in, like, where?
I lived in Simi Valley, but I spent a lot of time in the Valley. Like, I was born in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up banging, didn't you?
What?
You grew up banging?
Yeah. Like, I grew up, well,
can you imagine that? Him banging back in the day, and then what?
And then 90s, how I am now.
And how you are now.
I have pictures.
What a transition.
So I didn't know how that worked there, but I just knew that, again, you could see all of them having a good time and them being real friends with each other here, but you kind of stood out to me. I was like, what's your story? So that's why I gravitated toward you. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, you actually have a good sense of humor. You get the joke. And then, yeah, every time that I'd go, I'd be like, oh, is Jay going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, oh, yeah, he's coming or whatever. And then I was like, okay, here you come. And then we would automatically sneak off to go grab a drink.
Oh, yeah.
And then pull up in a corner somewhere and just start talking shit.
We would get hammered.
Yeah. Remember you threw up in the bushes when we got back that one time?
Oh, yeah.
Because you wanted to be a big boy.
Yeah. I'm a lightweight. Yeah. I'm a lightweight.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was my first impression of you. And then... But we didn't get close right away. We hung out and we saw each other at parties. We didn't even have each other's phone number.
No, we didn't really hang out till like
2007 when you moved me into that apartment.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We started. You just never left after that. After that.
Wow. We just connected on like you understood me without me really have to, you know, speak on certain stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the kind of relationship that I really don't have to put much work in. You know. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to finally find someone that actually understood me without me being too vocal about things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And your first impression of me, or do you remember seeing me out anywhere else? Or,
oh yeah, I definitely remember my first impression.
Your first
impression of you was actually we were at a bar somewhere, and then you were with your boyfriend at the time, I think. You know, you guys were all fondling over each other, and you just had this big old glow grin face.
You're so stupid. You are.
You guys just being handsy, and it's just
fuck off. First of all, he was not my boyfriend. Second, I wasn't I was not handsy with him. He might have been handsy with me and fondling me and doing all that stuff. But first, again, let's keep it real. He was not my boyfriend.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Okay. I would never do anything that looked like that.
Really different.
What do you mean it looked really
it
different?
Looked like you guys were, you know, totally into it.
I was drunk and probably stoned. And
blame it on the drugs.
Well, whatever. But yeah. So yeah, kiss my ass. I was never with that guy. It was funny at the time, but I'm into men.
He was a man. He had parts of a man.
Yeah. But the part that I was looking forward to use didn't work the way that I wanted it to work.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, I'm just not into the scissor shit.
But but that was my first impression of you. It was you and this one guy at a bar, and you were enjoying yourself. Very much so.
Okay, let's move it right along. So, yeah, that I guess my first impression of you was detached. Okay. And then your impression of me was attached.
Oh, yeah. You were definitely attached to him.
Oh, God, you're so stupid. But anyways, So... As far, again, I was telling everybody that I wanted to have Annabelle DeSisto on as my first guest, but you'll do.
Oh, it's such a privilege.
It is.
It's really hard. It's really big shoes to fill for Annabelle because she's a fantastic person. I love Annabelle.
Annabelle is my girl.
She is.
Yeah, I love that chick. She is so funny. Aside from just doing shows, we actually hang out together, do dinner together, talk shit together. She's just a great girl. But yeah, Annabelle DeSisto, gotta have you on, babe. Soon. Let's see, what else am I bringing on here? Gosh, so many different things that I want to do. So many topics I want to discuss. But I don't want to give people the same old shit that they've heard. I mean, we'll definitely talk about alien stuff. There's been a lot more of that activity going on with me feeling shit up in the sky. Mm-hmm. Again, whether you choose to rock with that or not, that's your own belief system. I've seen it. I've witnessed it firsthand here. I know a lot of people claim to see shit like that too, and they're kind of just dismissed.
Mm-hmm. Can you really tell if a person's story is true or not?
Yeah.
How can you tell?
I don't know. I guess because I'm psychic. I could pick up on that. That's kind of a dumb. Yeah. See, that those are the kind of questions that I get asked all the time. Like mm-hmm. how do you know? And for me, it's unfair to ask. It's unfair to answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sometimes it's really I forget who you are and the questions that I have to ask. You know, like sometimes like you just said right now, it's like I just can tell. Uh-huh. You know.
I just know. Mm-hmm. And when you've seen it happen before. I mean, I trip you out all the time mm-hmm. when it comes to shit.
Yeah, like when we saw aliens at the beach that one day.
Oh, with Heather?
Or it wasn't aliens.
It was a UFO. Shit was a UFO. I don't care what anybody
something.
Says.
It was something.
Yeah, it was something.
So we saw some sort of spacecraft or some sort of aircraft.
It wasn't a satellite. It wasn't a plane.
In the sky. And it was, you know, moving really like slowly and then fast. And then all of a sudden it stops midair mm-hmm. and it goes backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So
Heather was fucking, she tripped the fuck out. She was like, oh my God. And then you could tell she kind of got nervous there. I'm going to bust your ass, Heather, on the show on my first episode. But yeah, I was like, what the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. And both of you guys, your guys' vision is like horrible.
Oh yeah. I'm blind as a fucking bat.
Yeah. But yeah, the alien stuff. And again, going back to where when you asked me, you know, like how do I know?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I get asked questions like that all the time and I don't know how to answer that other than it takes everything in me not to go, duh.
Mm-hmm.
But I,
well, yeah, not everyone like understands or sees things the way you do. Mm-hmm. So, I guess what we're looking for is an explanation, you know, for you to elaborate on what you're seeing and how
but
you're feeling.
It's not fair though. It's not fair for me to elaborate because my go-to when it comes to that is I don't know. I've been doing this ever as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I didn't fall and bump my head, mm-hmm. none of that stuff. And when my guides talk to me, remember, I tell a story all the time. I spent a lot of time alone in my room growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a single mother. My dad had some issues that he was dealing with, so he wasn't around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, again...
Is your mother?
Single mom, yeah. Mm-hmm. Single mom worked long hours to support us, so she wasn't home. A lot of responsibility fell on me at a young age. So I usually just kind of kept to myself and made sure that we were taken care of. But yeah, I spent a lot of time in my room. I wouldn't go so far as to say meditating, mm-hmm. but thinking.
Like figuring yourself out.
Figuring things out, listening to the voice that was coming through. My mother had married somebody right after my dad who was, what a complete fucker this guy was. And my guides had literally told me, stay away from him. Mm-hmm. Stay away from him. Don't, you know, he's not going to beat you. He's not going to do anything gross to you. They did tell me that. But he doesn't like you. And I was like, why? And he was, and they were like, you represent, he sees your dad when he looks at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, or whatever. And I know that my dad and him had some problems, but I remember the first, and then what stuck out to me after listening to that was when my mother moved me. I was living with my great grandparents. That's where I grew up at, with my great grandparents in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived there with them. My mom, again, was a single mom, at that time. And I don't remember too much about that time with her. But she ended up moving me from North Hollywood to Simi Valley back mm-hmm. in like 1983, 84. And they bought a house, her and my stepdad, and I got my own room. I'd never had my own room. I used to sleep on an old mattress
on the
floor at my great grandparents' house. Mm-hmm. But to me, that was normal.
Oh, yeah.
They made it comfortable. It was a good place. It wasn't like there was fucking rats or anything running around on us, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just a one-bedroom apartment living mm-hmm. with my great grandparents. I didn't want to live anywhere else but with them. And then got moved to Simi Valley and was told, oh, but you're going to have your own room and a backyard to play in and going to go to a different school. You could ride your bike on here. That's all fine and dandy. And I, the thought of it was like, oh, wow, okay, good, or whatever. But being who I am at that time and knowing, again, you've heard my family members tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
What you see right now with Chris, who I am, is who I've always been.
That's really hard to imagine.
So like my way of thinking has always been the same. So I get to the house and mm-hmm. My guides are warning me, you know, kind of, you know, enjoy this. Go look at your room. Go do this. And the first thing that my stepdad at the time, he pulls me aside. He says, I need to talk to you. And he brings me in the bathroom. And I was like, what's up? And he was like, remind you, I'm 6 years old, seven mm-hmm. years old. And he was like, I know that you're used to your mother and your grandmother raising you, but I'm here now and I could hit you a lot harder than they can.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And you were six?
6 or 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then I went in my room and I cried and I was like, you were like telling my guides why or whatever. I just want to leave here. Can I go back? And I remember telling my great grandmother, I don't want to be there anymore. I fucking hate it. I don't like it. I don't like the kids out there. Can I come back? And my grandmother was like, no, your mom wants to start all over and she wants to know blah, blah, blah. So that was a mentality that I grew up with and the support that I had from my guides.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's.
So your guides pretty much supported you. Like, you know, they were. You know,
parent.
They were like your angels looking out yeah. for you at this, uh-huh. you know, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of, again, just talking to me, don't go out there, stay in here. And then, you know, again, a lot of that time at the very beginning when I started developing this and really knowing, again, I don't want to ever call it psychic or medium, but knowing that I could hear and predict and see the future, even the past, or read people, like just know shit about them. It just, it comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling me and they're guiding me, and to tell you that I hear them that's wrong too. I don't hear a voice. Mm-hmm. It's just a thought or a vision placed in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess for myself and I guess the audience, they just want to, I guess, understand how you feel when that happens, I guess, you know? And again, I understand what you're saying. It's hard for you to describe it because you were just so used to it.
Well, like Bruna, mm-hmm. Bruna Nesef, a good friend of both of ours,
mm-hmm.
She trips out. She's like, what are you getting? And I don't even, it's like that whole Raven. That's so Raven. I never watched that show, but apparently she's psychic on the show. I don't know. Those of you guys that know about that show, let me know what it's about. I can look it up. But she's like, what are you getting? And I guess I do a look. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You kind of look off. To a side, I guess.
And she says that my eyes go back. They look glazed.
Yeah.
She's not the first person that's told me that. So when I do readings in person, I always tell those people, I'm paying attention to you, but I'm going to look off because I'm self-conscious of the way that my face looks when I'm giving readings, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely paying attention to you. I don't know. I don't get to see it. And I never want to record myself giving a reading.
I'll record you next time.
No, I don't want you to record me. But, yeah, so again, I think it's unfair to answer questions like that because I don't have an easy answer or a mystifying answer to give people. It's just, it's what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you're dodging it or anything like that.
No, not at all.
You just don't know how to answer it, I guess.
Yeah, because again, what do you say? I can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really hear a voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just thoughts and visions imprinted in my mind. But during that time, again, while I was developing this, they played a lot. I don't know if it was because of my age or whatever the case may be, but they played a lot into my dreams. Mm-hmm. They would tell me, think about this before you go to bed and take yourself there. So at that time, that's astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
To the ability to do that, to leave the body and wander around. I did a lot of that. So I spent a lot of time in my room again, sleeping and dreaming about things too. I've said this before. The first one that they gave me was Freddy Krueger. And mm-hmm. you guys are going to laugh at that.
Okay.
I was such a huge dork and huge queer.
You still are, even more so now.
You can kiss my ass.
It's true.
Jesus Christ, this is my show and you're bad-mouthing me on my show?
Well, this is what we do.
Oh, God. Those of you looking for a roommate or looking to adopt a pig, Jay is available. But anyways, let me get back. But yeah, it's Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger was my idol. I fucking, as soon as I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, the very first one, I was in love. I'm like, who thought of this? But yeah, I was, for $14.95, you got to be a member of the Freddy Krueger fan club. And I clipped the article, I filled it out, mailed it, I begged and pleaded with my mom to give me a check for $14.95 to do it. She did. Took forever to get it. And the day before I got it, my guides had said, what do you want to do tonight? Or they, you know, about dreaming. And I was like, where is my Freddy Krueger stuff? That could have been psychic coming through as well too. But I dreamt of Freddy and mm-hmm. it was weird. We were in, you guys are going to laugh. It must have been New York. We were underneath, or maybe Chicago, underneath a subway or train tracks. I was underneath. There was a parking structure there. And Freddy was sitting in this old, beat-up, brown Cadillac. And he'd rolled the window down, and he said, come here. And I walked up to
it. And of course you go up to it.
Yeah, and I go up there, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, and he shook my hand, when he clapped my hand in the dream, he cut my middle finger. And I remember looking at it. I was like, ow, you cut me. And he said, and laugh if you will, think it's fucking goofy or whatever, but he had told me, thank you for being so patient, you're gonna be getting your stuff in the mail tomorrow. And woke up excited, went to check the mail when the mailman came, and my shit was there.
I have so many thoughts going through my head right now.
It's like, what,
like, one
queer,
what kind of twisted kid, how old?
So that was like 19. I must have been like 10 or 11.
What twisted kid at 10 or 11 loves Freddy Krueger?
This twisted kid.
Who has dreams like really like crazy dreams like that. And I don't know, like, you just, it's just so amazing. Like how you grew up and seeing you develop your abilities like that at such a young age.
My mom would trip out too. I told her about that. And she was like, she didn't call me crazy, but she was like, okay. And she tripped out. She was like, oh my God. So yeah. And then again, I've said this before. I don't want to keep saying the same shit, but I mean, my abilities really, really helped me growing up,
mm-hmm.
you know, living. I mean, you're from Simi. You've dealt with racism here.
Oh yeah.
You know, you being Asian, me being Hispanic and Native.
And gay.
Yeah, and gay. And, you know, it was a horrible time. Horrible. But they really, really stepped up. And they, you know, when you think, I'm not making light of this, and I'm not being dramatic here, but when you're thinking about selling your soul to the devil, that's what I thought of, killing yourself at the age of 13, 12, 13, because you're getting bullied relentlessly. You're having people come to your house, jump on your basketball hoop thing or whatever it's called, trying to break stuff, trying to get me to go outside, just bullying me relentlessly. And my guides kind of coming in and being like, we're going to switch things up. That's when the manipulation came into play.
That's crazy. Like every time I hear this story, it's so unbelievable that you actually went through these things, and there's actually people out there that thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Even adults, even the teachers. I remember mm-hmm. my fifth grade teacher, that fucking bitch. She was a major cunt. I mean, she just was... I don't know if she was menopausing or whatever the fuck. Maybe the boat was too late for that bitch. I don't know. She was just really, really rude to me. And I remember yelling at her and telling her, don't take your marriage problems out on me mm-hmm. just because you're unhappy. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what? I'm calling your mother. I'll fucking call her up. I don't give a shit. You know? And then even dealing with racism with the teachers, I remember one time because maybe because I was Hispanic, maybe
even even the teachers were racist.
Yeah, my homeroom teacher for fucking 3 years in a row, I literally took. We were doing the Pledge of Allegiance at mm-hmm. the beginning of class. You know, the morning. You know, school mm-hmm. starts. You're in homeroom, and I took my hand off my chest to scratch my nose, mm-hmm. and I think that fucker was waiting to say shit to me, and he was like, put your hand back on your chest. This is America, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I know. I was fucking born here. So is my mother. So is my dad. So are my grandparents.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, you want to sass me? You want to give me attitude? And then he named the principal. And it's like, I'm going to keep it real. He named the principal's name to me and was like, we'll go see what I think it was Miss Britz at the time, what Britz has to say about this. And I said, okay. I said, but it won't really matter after I tell her that you touched me.
Ooh.
And he saw the look of God. I was 14, ninth grade.
Oh, okay, so you're in high school.
It was junior high.
Okay.
And he, like, looked at me, and he was like, what? I'll say, I'll tell them that you touched me. You want to play that fucking game? Literally said that.
Ruthless.
And walked away. I got tired of that fucking... Ninth grade was the year that I was like, I'm fucking tired of this bullshit. Mm-hmm. I still got... even after ninth grade, I got jumped... But mm-hmm. again, my guides were like, the moral of the story is my guides were there 100% the entire time, molding me, guiding me, having me stick through it, having me, if I hear the word lesson again, it'll be too soon, going through the lessons of life and why they're making me do certain things. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't have any explanation other than I didn't resist and the thoughts and or presence felt warm and welcoming. So I never questioned it, never questioned it.
So you've never resisted or... went against what they said?
Twice I resisted. Okay. The first time was when I was dating my boyfriend mm-hmm. of 5 years. I was like 18 at the time. Mm-hmm. I would get super stoned, doing bags of coke left and right. Gained weight. You would think I would do coke during the day and then settle in at night with weed mm-hmm. and eat the living shit out of stuff. So I was 200 pounds plus at that time. And my guides were like, you are unhealthy. We're going to end this relationship. It's not going anywhere. And I was like, no, you're not. I'm going to stay in this. And push came to shove, and they ripped that fucker right out of my life.
So they warned you ahead of time, too?
They warned me ahead of time to stop, wow. Just like they did when we moved from Oregon to here. Mm-hmm. We've already said that story, but I know. And they also moved me when I was living, I don't want to mention any names, but when I was living with the two people that I lived with before.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it was time to go. Mm-hmm. They literally woke me up at 6 a.m. and was like, start looking for a place to live. You're going to find it. I was like, where do I look? You know where I found a place to live? Off the Penny Saver.
Oh, wow.
I rented a room.
Are there still Penny Savers?
I don't know. I was online, so I looked it up. And the woman was like, oh, at the time, you know, your credit's kind of bad. Because it was. I had to stay in a hotel room for a couple of nights. But they were like, don't worry about it. And I was like, are you sure? And they were like, yes. And then she called me and she said, I'm going to give you the room. Your credit isn't that great. I'm going to ask for $200 extra in deposit. I was like, fuck it. Fine. Good. Jump. So whenever they tell me to jump, you know this. Mm-hmm. I tell you. We got just this little time frame or this window to jump through right now. Mm-hmm. Let's not fuck this up. I feel this. And we do it. And it always works out.
It does. It usually, like our last couple of moves, we were given 30-day notices and we just find something within, you know, the first 2 weeks.
Remember the last house, that house that we were at in Oregon, you found it or whatever, and they weren't taking any visitors, remember?
Yeah.
You had to make an appointment. We were like, fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. And we drove down.
And they were outside.
They
want to come in and look?
What fucking luck is that for them to be like, do you want to come in and take a look at the place? And we go in there and take a look, and we're like, this is ours.
Yeah.
Immediately call the realtor. God, love that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Loved her. She was amazing. She
was really accommodating to our needs and uh-huh. everything else.
Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, right?
Susan, yeah. Susan something. I don't remember.
So supportive. Even with my career, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very supportive. Great girl, great woman, gave us a chance. But yeah, she was like, it's yours.
Yeah, and the same thing happened to the next person when we left that place. You know, they drove by and, hey, you want to come in and look? And, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we returned the favor to the next tenants, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But that's how it works. So and you know that. I look at you and I'm like, we got to start doing this. And you're like, why? They told you? And I'm like, yes. You're like, oh, fuck. Because you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I try to do things ahead of time, you know, before you get that warning.
Yeah, but again, you're doing it ahead of time isn't, again, you guys are going to think that I'm trying to take the credit for everything, and I'm not. I trust your opinion. I trust what you have to say. But if they're telling me no, that it's not time yet, mm-hmm. or that just wait, I'm going to take their side over anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand the need to look for it, and you want to plan and prepare, but they will tell me when it's time to make that move,
mm-hmm.
and they've never steered me wrong. So
the timing's just doesn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't matching.
You're just adding more pressure on me when they're telling me, relax, we got this.
Yeah, and that, again, like you almost like that stress because it gets you moving.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, well, I don't want to fucking stress, so I try to do things ahead of time.
No,
so
I thrive off of it.
Yeah, you're the complete opposite of me. And
you would think, what a big queer that I am, what a big, you know, queen that I am, that mm-hmm. I would flip out or, you know, lose my shit, but I don't.
at that time, when you're stressing, I understand that the stress makes you move, but you are kind of fucking freaking out at the same time.
You're just gonna call me out on all my shit here.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
And label me a big queen.
You are a big queen.
For the most part, but I, in my defense, has it ever been wrong?
It never steered you wrong.
Right. So at the end of the day. One
it
for
works
me,
out.
Zero for you.
I don't know about
One
that.
One for me, zero for you.
It works for you.
But yeah, so it, yeah, that's me. That's my life. That's how it works. Medium stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not as clear as my dad when it comes to it. I thank God I don't see them in person. I very rarely see them in person mm-hmm. or in real life, in reality. I usually hear them, feel them, smell them. I hate the smells. But yeah, that's a whole different, you know, that's another story too, feeling all that energy.
It does.
Growing up.
It's crazy.
And then my sister having a best friend, her name was Allison, who this little bitch carried a Ouija board around with her all the time. She kept it in a pillowcase, would even take it to school. She had this friend named Jake that she would conjure up through that Ouija board. And she brought it over. My sister had a sleepover or whatever, and me being the big queer that I am wanted to be a part of it. And so she was like, have you ever played one of these before? And I remember seeing the movie Witchboard.
Mm-hmm.
I showed you that movie.
I don't remember it, but...
With the Ouija board where the girl gets possessed, and she's got the red hair.
Is that the one where she falls out from the house into the spikes fence?
Under the sundial. The psychic girl.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, so I was like, oh my God. And she said, you want to play it? And I was like, yeah. Intrigued by it. Knew, was a little standoffish towards it, but was attracted to it. And got my first taste of ghost stuff with that. As far as like being able to say, you know, back then it would be like, give us a sign that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so fucking old that the phone would ding. That little bell on the phone would ding. The clock would stop. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking trash cans got kicked in. The dogs would start barking. Crazy shit.
I remember playing with the Ouija board like once, but I don't remember what happened.
Yeah.
I never played with it ever since.
Well, it got to the point where I started, my mom would not buy me a Ouija board. She didn't want that thing in the house. And back then there was, I think they still have them, the 24 case of Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was a Budweiser drinker. And she would have the 24 packs, and I would take that box and cut it and make it into a Ouija board. And played it.
What'd you use as the little...
You cut a little triangle for the planchette.
Oh, okay.
And you use it that way. But yeah, was addicted to that. Outgrew that, obviously. But yeah, that was my introduction into ghosts. And then God, we can sit here for hours and talk about all this shit. I can't wait till I bring Lynette on the show. Who's my cousin,
mm-hmm.
and have her tell the stories of shit that happened to us when we were kids. And this is no joke. I mean, my grandmother's house, which she owns now, is haunted as fuck.
Is it?
Oh yeah. That fucking house, the juju in there, ridiculous. We had an old, we had an old Pinto in the backyard that my aunt used to drive. And I mean, the house in Pacoima, there's a lot of, even though it's the ghetto, there's a lot of property on in those houses. There, it's almost like a half an acre, or like
they're pretty big.
They're huge.
They're pretty big. The backyard is huge.
Yeah. So the backyard had the car, the old car back there, battery busted out of it. Nothing in there. The lights would turn on that bitch, and the horn would start honking.
Wow.
Yeah. And then getting the phone calls, like because I ended up dropping out, not proud of it, but I dropped out at the out of high school from the 10th grade. Remember, I told you I got jumped and all that bullshit started happening and I couldn't go back there. Ended up staying, wasn't even homeschooled, but staying at my grandparents' house. They would both work and my cousin would be out to school, off to school, and I'd be sitting there by myself just watching TV all day. And I got a phone call. This is at my grandmother's house, the haunted house. I get a phone call. It's during the day. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, maybe noon at that time. I get a phone call and I hear these two kids laughing. And I'm like, hello? And they're giggling. And I'm like, who is this? And they kept repeating in little kid voices what I was saying. And then me with my big mouth, I'm like, who the fuck is this? Stop fucking calling here. Hung up. Phone rings again. I hear, ooh. And they were saying that I said a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, stop calling here. Who is this? And these fucking kids, I'm not kidding you, started calling the names of the dogs that we had in the backyard. One dog, mangy dogs. One was Pepper. The other one was Scruffy.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh at it later. But they started saying, Pepper, Scruffy. And the fucking dog started barking in the backyard.
Wow.
I dropped that fucking phone and I was what we call the fuck gone. Jumped out of that fucking house. I was like, I'm not fucking staying here.
Did you do something to provoke that? Or it
no,
just,
I was just asleep. I had fallen asleep, got up, and I was like, okay, I think it's time to get up and start doing shit around here. Got to clean the house before my grandma gets here and starts bitching.
They just fuck around just to fuck around?
Just to fuck around. And then I thought somebody was playing handball because we used to play handball on the side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear a ball hitting the wall. I mean, you don't forget that sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody.
That is crazy.
Uh-huh.
So, like ghost experiences like that, like they just happen for like no reason at all. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It is crazy. I'm telling you, once I get around here, we can tell you about stories that would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. So I'm excited to have her on. She's going to be a fun guest.
I think all, the guests we have coming up are all fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're really interesting guests.
So, yeah, I want to give you guys stuff that you've never heard before. Hopefully it all makes sense to you. Hopefully there's people out there that are dealing with the same thing that want insight or guidance when it comes to this sort of thing. Or just, I mean, have shit they want to tell. Come on here. Let's tell these stories. Let's get people up to date with how it really works instead of what you're seeing on television. Again, the dramatics, the made-for-TV bullshit. We actually do this in real life, and our stories are a lot better than what you're seeing on television.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I got, we can sit here and do this for fucking hours talking shit.
We can. There's so many stories that you haven't told yet. And those stories are really fun and interesting. And, you're definitely going to share them.
The one thing I'm not going to do, or that I'm going to try to do not a lot of, is political shit.
Yeah, because it's not that fun.
It's not that fun. It's not my fucking place to. I will answer questions when it comes to it. I don't like doing it. I've been threatened before. Mm-hmm. You've saw the emails.
Yeah.
The phone calls.
With conspiracy theories and all this shit.
Yeah. I love my conspiracy theories. I love talking about all the shenanigans that's going on with politics. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to laugh with the Illuminati and all that stuff, too. I'm a big believer in that. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Good old William Cooper, who I always talk about, my favorite ghost, yours and mine, warning me and telling me about all this stuff here. So I'm going to share as much as I can here without going too overboard, and kind of keep it safe, but not boring safe.
Keep it interesting.
Keep it interesting, but not
overboard.
Not overboard. Yeah. I don't want the phone calls anymore, but yeah, I'm going to discuss aliens here again, whether you choose to believe in it or not. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Worldly stuff. I want to touch on that. I want to touch on, celebrity stuff too. I mean, like this Ariana Grande, or I heard that she pronounces it Ariana Grande instead of Grande. She said, my grandfather called it Grande in her and this Pete Davidson guy.
Maybe she's just fucking around. Or is she being serious about her pronunciation of her.
She's
name.
Being serious. She, and she's a beautiful girl. And I say girl because I can't look at her and see woman. No disrespect to her.
She gives off a very girly vibe.
Uh-huh. Pete. Funny as all hell. I'd love to read you someday. I mean, not bringing in your dad or anything like that, but I'd love the opportunity to read you someday. Do yourself a favor and,
get a hold of Chris.
Yeah. Get a hold of me. And, you know, next time you look at her from your rearview mirror.
Ooh.
I think that's an accident waiting to happen here. He's already getting the blonde hair. He's already dyed his hair blonde. You know how I feel about that shit.
Hasn't he always had blonde hair?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
He's always been, yeah, he's, I don't, he's, I heard he's a mixture of shit, but he's, as far as like his ethnicity, mm-hmm. I think he is Latin, but then he's got a whole bunch of other shit in there too. You don't need this, boy. You don't need it. You don't need this type of, you don't need it. They will take it away from you, and just trust me on this one.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the mind is very fragile, and to pick up those pieces when it's all said and done, I don't know. Again, no disrespect to her. She's obviously a lot further in life than I am, or in status, a lot further in status than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's not, he's not the one for her.
She's not the one for him.
For both of them? They're not for each other?
I don't give a shit about what, I mean, again, no disrespect to her. It sounds like I'm throwing shit at her, but I can give a fuck what she does. She's, I mean, this is, you know, I guess she's really young here, but go do you, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Go do you. Yeah.
So, I can't wait for, we can dedicate episodes to, you know, current events, celebrity stuff. That'll be fun. That'll be a really fun episode.
We just intro'd this one right now.
And I know that's what I'm saying. I can't wait to look forward to other episodes mm-hmm. coming up.
As far as like other, like reality TV shows here, and a lot of the shows that I'm on, like Annabelle DeSistos, Jacqueline Marfuji, all my girls here, they're all into reality TV. Even Hannah,
mm-hmm.
Brown Eyed Unicorn, the show
that I just did. Uh-huh.
Fucking girl is crazy. I love her. I can't wait to get stoned and drink with that girl. But they all watch those Real Housewives, mm-hmm. Vanderpump Rules.
You're a fucking bad girl bitch, you know?
I'm a bad girls club. I'm a loving hip hop bitch.
You belong in the hood, you know?
No, I don't belong in the hood, but I like that's more my thing here. In a lot of, I've never actually sat down and watched Real Housewives or Vanderpump.
You know of it, but
I know of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I've never watched an episode. Vanderpump. You know,
it's not your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea. I just like what I hear about it and things that I read about it. I'd love to read Lisa Vanderpump. I think that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most interesting thing out of that show was her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck about all the shenanigans that go on, you know, in the workplace there with the crew,
mm-hmm.
the apology tours, you know, making an ass out of yourself, retracting your statements and, you know, shit like that. Shade.
Well, I mean, if you don't mean it, why say it in the first place, right?
That's my whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the sponsors that pull out of this shit or whatever, then I probably never wanted to fuck with you guys anyway.
Well, money talks.
And bullshit walks. Well, you see that shit. You see, yeah. So keep on walking. But yeah, I don't know. I'm more of a urban. Urban? Is urban the right word?
I guess, yeah. You're more, I guess, cultured? You like the...
I don't like the fake shit. I don't like the... I'll give you a good example. I don't know if I told this before, but I had a friend move from Brooklyn, Brooklyn, New York, to L.A. We worked in the insurance industry together. Really, really good friend of mine. Her name was Jackie. We used to do coke off our desks. Like we'd bring out like an 8-ball of blow in there and do it on our desks and get all fucked up. She had a hard time adjusting to the mentality.
The LA lifestyle.
LA lifestyle. And she had it out with our boss, who was a fucking royal bitch, by the way. I mean, that bitch, anyway, she came to her desk crying. I was like, why are you crying? And she was like, because I don't fucking get it here. And I was like, what? She's like, I'm as nice as I can be. And, you know, and trying to be honest to people here. And I don't understand the game here. Like, what the fuck? I said, oh, baby, they didn't give you your LA introduction when you came in. They didn't give you your pamphlet and tell you that this is this way, beach is to your left, blah, 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 whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're in LA now. We smile in your face and talk shit about you as soon as you turn your back.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she, from crying to laughing, and she was like, thank you.
Because you're straight up with her.
Because I'm straight up. I bleed LA. Love LA.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the fuckery that, I mean, every state has it. Every state has it. But like watching, I'd rather watch or be around people that are direct,
mm-hmm.
in your face type of shit, because at least you know where you stand with those fuckers,
mm-hmm.
than have someone smile in your face and turn around and talk shit afterward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can relate to that. You're not the type of person that would talk shit behind someone's back. You would do it in front of them.
I would never say anything behind someone's back that I would never say to their that I couldn't say to their face.
Exactly.
I don't do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that kind of stuff here, apology tours and the he said, she said, and the backstabbing and slapping and all that shit here. You slap any one of my friends and you're going to be in the hospital for about 2 or 3 days.
What a gangster. What a thug.
I mean, look at my girls.
Yeah.
All my girls are there.
They're your girls for a reason.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I guess reality TV is reality TV, and we deal with that shit on like Love and Hip Hop. And there are girls that do that kind of shit there too, but it's more brought to your face. If I have a problem, I'm going to speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I am. So, give a fuck if I look like a Bad Girls Club type of person or Love and Hip Hop. If I'd rather keep it real than keep it fake.
You love that shit.
Mm-hmm. So, one last thing, and then we're going to end this episode here. I think this is a good start to a first episode, but I wanted to touch on misconceptions of Chris Medina. Perceptions.
Mm-hmm. Be gentle.
I'll be gentle. You guys are used to seeing people that have done this, obviously, before me. John Holland, John Edwards, Sylvia Brown, all the ones that have paved the way for people like me, and them coming across in a very love and light, very spiritual, very guru type of way. I'm a very nice person. I'm a very private person,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a very honest person at the same time. And a lot of people want to categorize me or put me in this box of those types of people here. And no disrespect to them. Again, it sounds like I'm throwing shade, but I'm not. That is how they function and how they work. They will keep their mouths shut if they're being fucked with or they're being pushed here. I'm not that person. I will speak up on stuff. I don't owe anybody an explanation or an apology for who I am. I'm not saying that I'm above everybody else here, but there are people that try to tell me how to be. You're a spiritual figure. You are a guru. You're supposed to be. You're supposed to. You're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
No, bitch. I'm supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be me. They made you to look like you. They made me to look like me and to act like me. You act like yourself. I'll act like me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me. The minute someone tells you how to be, get rid of them. Get rid of them. That's a sign of wanting to control you. And I don't do that shit. Nobody controls me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me how to come across. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because I have
stalkers.
I don't do it a lot. No, not yet. Thank God. maybe just one. And at the end of the day, I'm human. I get sick. I get tired. I get drained. I make no excuses for that. I am not going to read somebody if I'm sick or I'm drained. What I do is a reflection of who I am and the information that I bring here. And if I'm off or not feeling like if I'm sick, that's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You are not important enough to me or anybody in my life that I need to lie to. I don't fucking know you from a fucking hole in the wall.
Yeah.
So don't tell me how I need to be or how I should come across or what I need to do. And again, I don't lie. So for these people to come at me and say that, you know, that I canceled them because I wanted to do a Super Bowl Sunday. First of all, I didn't give a fuck about Super Bowl.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I don't do that's a fucking sport. I don't do sports. Telling people that, you know, coming across and just in telling people what a bad person I am because I had to cancel on a reading. Thank God. Thank God that they intervened and canceled for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or had it be that way, because I probably wouldn't have anything nice to say to you anyway. So no harm, no foul. Go do you, but keep my fucking name out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not speaking on everybody else's behalf either, honey. So these four people or three or four people that were unhappy, let them do their own talking. Stay in your fucking place. Keep my name out of your mouth and keep it moving. Simple. That's Chris Medina.
Well, you know, like you said, you're here to be authentic and true to yourself. So mm-hmm. Here you are, right? Mm-hmm.
And I'm not anybody else but me.
Mm-hmm.
And I give zero fucks.
And that's why we all love you.
I hope so. I am going to do things differently here. I want all my people that fuck with me, that support me, and the ones that don't know me to get to know me here, and to just want to bring people together in a. It may not have been very positive what I had to say just right now, but it needed to be said here. I've been struggling with this since, when was Super Bowl? January or February?
January, February, something like that.
And I'm still dealing with this fucking roach. Enough. That's all the attention I'm going to give you. My goal here is to bring people together, but I can't bring people like you into the mix here. Mm-hmm. You're poison. You're toxic. I don't need that fucking bullshit around me or around people that I mess with here. So again, those of you that are out there listening to me that like what you hear, thank you. Those of you that don't, hit next.
Yeah, you know, you're not for everyone, and everyone's not for you. Mm-hmm. So.
So let me give my little shout outs here, and then I'm going to wrap it up with the social media stuff here. So I have big thank yous, big love to give to Annabelle DeSisto, Jacqueline Marfuji, Rachel O'Brien. Gosh, who else?
Bruna Nesif,
Nikki Garcia, Marissa Mendez. That's my girl. Molly McClear, Bubbles and Bitches, Brandy and Darnell, Brown Eyed Unicorn, Hannah Brown, Jimmy Church,
mm-hmm.
in the Fader Knots out mm-hmm. there, the Kittens, Michael Alfenor.
Who that is?
That's my boy that lives in Arizona.
Okay.
Michael, shout out to you. Big hugs and kisses to you. Can't wait to see you and hang out. Christina Chang, Hillary Chang, fabulous stylist. My Lynn, my astrologer, Heather, my sister. It sounds like I'm accepting an award, but I just want to give much love to those people. Those of you that forgot, I will mention you guys again, or I will. I'm a little nervous here doing this for the first time, so if I forgot you, no disrespect. But yeah.
All the kittens,
every single one of them. Those of you looking for a reading or wanting to know more about me, please feel free to visit my website, chrismedina.guide. Follow me on social media at @PsychicChrisM. That's for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, please submit any questions that you have in regards to spirituality, metaphysics, psychic, medium stuff. Feel free to email me those questions. Or if you guys are looking for insight, email me directly at askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send pictures of people that you want insight on. This could be a lover, relative, friend, boss, neighbor. I will not shit on that person. I will keep it as professional as I can. I will never expose that person. You will never hear me drop their name or show their picture. I will keep it professional and give you my direct insight on when I get on that person. So send pictures in. askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, at @PsychicChrisM for social media, chrismedina.guide to book those readings. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for everything, you guys. I hope you guys like the show. I'm going to give you more. Next episode is going to be guests. We're going to be probably dropping this every Thursday moving forward from now. So, yeah, In Your Head podcast with yours truly, Chris Medina and Jay. Sing bye.
Bye.